Let's go ahead and come to the Lord and prepare our hearts to hear His word. Father God, we bow down before You because You are our King. And today, God, in our hearts, in our minds, in our belief systems, in our actions, we set You on the throne of our life. God, we want to get out of the way because we want to continue to learn and grow, mature. God, we want to continue to rejoice in You and all that You're doing in us. God, we are still a work in progress. Construction is still going on. And we rejoice and praise You that You have saved us with Your grace. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God, if anyone does not know You here, our prayer is that they would come to know Your great and abundant grace and love. We love You, Jesus, this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, I think we have some of the PowerPoint up there. And so today, I'd like to ask of you, how many of you love parties? Okay, I'm not seeing too many hands go up. How many of you like to celebrate? I'll raise two hands. I really love to celebrate. Birthday parties. People love to have birthday parties because we celebrate the life that has been given them. We love baptisms because we love to celebrate that new life has come into them, that they have believed in the Lord. Where else do we celebrate? We celebrate at weddings. When people get married, there's a newness that they are together and a new life is starting. And it's wonderful to go to Chinese weddings because we have the big banquet with a lot of food. How many of you love that? All right, that is very, very good. We celebrate in different ways. We even celebrate after we get married, and our wives many times tell us, hey, it's our anniversary, what are we going to do? We need to celebrate, so we need to get ready. At the birth of our son Nathan and our daughter Naomi, our hearts rejoiced in the Lord. We celebrated before Him. It was times of weeping, of this uncontrollable joy that came into us that our son was alive and living and was able to take another step of that day. And in the Chinese celebration, then after a full month, we have the Manyue celebration where we would get together with friends and family and celebrate. Even interesting, when people go away, we have a bit of a party, a celebration for them, and there's mixed emotions there. I really believe that God loves celebration. And He is a God of celebration. And I'm going to try to make this a two-part series. We're going to do more next week. But I think the things that He celebrates the most is life. And He celebrates things that are new. And we should not miss opportunities in our lives or the people around us to remember things are new and things that He has put life into. I went to college, and in college I was a bit confused, but praise God, I knew God, and I knew that He was always calling my heart to Him. But in college there was a street with many houses on it, with porches, and every year they would have a party called the street's name. I don't recall it now because I only went there once. But I went there once and checked it out, and as I walked down the street and looked on my left and right, each of these old houses had this huge porch. And on that porch were huge barrels. And in those barrels were huge amounts of beer. And when I think about that and recall that, I was like, well, what are they celebrating? I don't know what they were celebrating, but at least they had a reason that they had the celebration for, which was to drink. There really wasn't much, but look, you know, someone was born or someone got married or there is new life here. It's just, we need to drink. We will have a party. Very much of a different concept. I remember when I was young that I went to a party, did not know what I was getting into. Very young, actually somewhere in middle school. And they had a party where they played the game Spin the Bottle. Well, what was their reason for having the party? It wasn't new life or anything of God. It was that we could spin a bottle. And I won't explain any more about that game, but found it interesting that the world many times goes about it in a different way. That they have a party in order to make an excuse to do something that they would like to do. But I really believe that here in the church, what God has put into our life, this newness, this freedom, all of the great life that He has given us is a cause for us always to celebrate. And I believe when we come to one word, that is worship. However we do that, that we celebrate before the Lord. When we look through our beginning, we have celebrations from the beginning to the end. It starts with the creation. And in the creation, at the end of each time that God creates, what does He say? It is good. I mean, I think He kind of sits there and He looks back and He's like, yeah, that is good. A little bit in His own heart. And I would say with the Trinity and Himself, they are looking and saying, yeah, let's celebrate that. That is good. And it was. When we look around, even Romans, Paul says that when we look at creation, it testifies of what God has done. We go through and we have Jewish celebrations throughout of what God has done in their life as a testimony to the life and the newness that He's put in them. And we come to the very end. And in the end, in the book of Revelation, what do we see? A big celebration going on. Saints and elders, different type of beasts, around the one central figure of God, celebrating Him, rejoicing. Worthy is the Lamb of God who was slain to take away the sins of the world. All glory, honor, and praise to Him. Celebrating. God is a God, I believe, who loves to celebrate. And the reason I came up with this is because we were getting ready for Easter, and many of the youth were gone on the camping trip, and I wanted to preach this. So I thought I'd wait till they got back. How was your camping trip? Good. Any skunks? Okay, raccoons. Those are better. They just eat the food instead of eat the food and spray you. Okay? But as Jesus was getting ready to do the work that He was called by His Father to do, to obey His Father, He came into that city of Jerusalem. And when He came into that city, there was a celebration. And if we could open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at that celebration. And then we're going to go and jump to another man's celebration. It says in chapter 21 of Matthew, verse 21, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent to His disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there, tied with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, and full of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them as Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed, what did they do? Actually, Lisa, there we go. They shouted, and in Luke 19:37, it says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In Luke, it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke them. Rebuke your disciples. Teach them. He said, I tell you, He replied, if you keep quiet, then the stones will cry out. Rocky here. I praise God that he doesn't have to cry out in our church. There was a celebration going on. Now, something seems a little mixed up here in this celebration. I would say a little screwed up. Because, I mean, if you think about it seriously, why was Jesus coming to Jerusalem? I mean, he was basically going to Jerusalem for a funeral. His own. He was going there to die and die on a cross, wasn't he? But they got a celebration going. You think that he would say, hey, could you get it a little quiet? Quiet down, everyone, quiet down. This is the place I'm going. I'm going to die. Everyone, this is the beginning of a very solemn and sacred moment. Let's take a moment to reflect, to meditate before the Lord. But that's not what happens. The people are rejoicing. They're crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. And there's a celebration going on. The Pharisees try to shut him up. Hey, Jesus, can you get your disciples under control? They shouldn't be celebrating you. He says, if they don't cry out, the stones will cry out. What is Jesus' translation there? You can't stop this celebration that's going on. You can't stop the celebration that's going on. You and I were created to celebrate. And sometimes that might be a little bit uncomfortable before us, but really, that's who we are. And I like to think that when we walk into these doors, and when we come here on Sunday, when we're in Sunday school, when we're with other brothers and sisters, that what God has done in our life, we were created to celebrate. I put some pictures up here. Can you somehow click on that? Are you able to click on that? Now you actually got to take the cursor and click on the picture. Because it is a video, but I don't know if we can get it going. Does it work at all? It may not work on the XP system. Okay. Well, anyhow, jumping up and down, I'm jumping. If you guys saw that, okay. We go to the next one, and we just got, for some reason, Job's singing on his guitar over in the Sunday school room, and Joseph joins him, and they're just singing. They're created to celebrate. And really connected with that is to worship the Lord for all that he has done in our life. And the next one, I don't know if we can go. This is just a YouTube clip of the Hillsong, but I don't know if we can post in that YouTube clip and get to that. Maybe we'll take that a moment. Is that at all possible, you think, Richard? Sometimes when we go from the Windows systems of Vista to Vista XP, then things don't work out as well. But I'll have to bring the videos. What time frame you think we're operating underneath, Richard? Okay. But really, in the sense of everything, God has created us to celebrate, and that he is a God of celebration. I hope I don't break the computer all of a sudden. Oh, there we go, and then we can... All right, and if we can click that little box. Oh, awesome, way to go. Woo! we're not going to watch the whole thing, but we're going to watch some of it.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. But let mercy fall on me. Kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Go ahead and stop it. Thank you. Now, if you can imagine the Pharisees being there, don't cry out. Can you get your disciples under control? I wonder what they would be doing. Would they be joining the celebration or would they not? And I like to ask a question. When you think of parties and celebrations in your own life, have you ever had someone who rains on your parade? I like that. Rains on your parade. It means stop the celebration to get it under control. And I would say that if we are created to celebrate, and if God is a God of celebration and worship, when people rain on our parade, part of us dies. And I like to think about our own life. Has part of us died because someone has rained on our parade when we were celebrating before the Lord? I would say that even sometimes in the church, it rains on our parade. Hey, pastor, tell them not to be so loud. Oh, man. Raise their hands. That makes me feel so uncomfortable. This is a time for only holy, sacred meditation. Tell them to be quiet. Sometimes there's just rain clouds out there and it looks like it's going to rain on us. I'd like us to go to another man who celebrated, and I'd like to talk about Michal as a rain cloud. If you can flip back to your Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 6. I'll read all the story. I don't know if it's all up here on the PowerPoint. Starting in verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, and you can imagine this, the ark of the covenant, the very presence of God, and we didn't get all the story, but before them are thousands of people, David leading it, with different priests walking before them, with trumpets sounding, with praises going out to the Lord. All of this is happening as they're celebrating before the Lord, as they're worshiping before the Lord. And verse 16, and as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person and the whole crowd of all of the Israelites. both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people of Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be honored." And then it adds at the end, "And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Michal was reigning on the celebration of David and the people. She was a rain cup. It's like the Pharisees when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And overall, what is David's response to Michal? "I will celebrate before the Lord. No matter what you say, I and in my heart and who God has created me to be, I will celebrate." And he goes on and he gets even stronger and says, "I'll become even more undignified than this. I will even become humiliated in my own eyes so that I can celebrate and worship the Lord." Now, things are very interesting in this because King David's looking a little risque from the outside eye, because all he's wearing is a linen ephod. And in that is the basically he has nothing on but his underwear or a special garment that goes just between the garment is over him and touching his skin. Now, this garment is very much of a garment that is used by priests, that is used in order to represent a cleanliness, a purity. If we want to think of the color white. And so there is very much of a holiness that he is bringing before the Lord. In his heart, as he dances before the Lord, as he shouts, as the people shout, he is saying, "I want to be as pure and as clean and as holy as I can before the Lord." In verse 20, it's interesting because Michal sees it in a different way, and he says, "Oh, how the king has distinguished himself today." Basically, did you see how you distinguished yourself, your identity, your character, your very personality? Did you see who you were today? And she goes on to say, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of the servants. Disrobing. You, the very king, took your very authority and all that you were as a king, and you disrobed. Laid it down. And I would say that in David's mind, he's saying there's nothing more important. There is no other Lord. There is no other king in my life than this God today. And so he takes off his own kingly robe. He takes off his own garments of distinction, of identity, and he puts it all down. And he says, that is not important today. When we come before the presence of God, into the house of God, we are called to lay it all down, all of our identity, all of what distinguishes us, and we lay it down before the Lord, and we say, there is only one King today. It's interesting that as we read through here, that it's very much the focus of each person is different. That David's focus is fully on the Lord, but Michal's focus is on the self. Verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 20. Disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of the servants as any vulgar fellow would do. Look what you did before them and all of the people. And when their eyes were on you, David, what did they think? What did they feel? She was very concerned about what other people think. And I would say that a lot of times in our own life, and as we come to worship the Lord, it's very much of something that's kind of passed on to us, or from one person to another. Some people even could go as far as to say that some things are generational sins. And why I say this is that two times in this scripture, it calls Michal the daughter of who? Saul, King Saul. Let's flip back real quick to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul happened to become the first king, renowned, distinguished as the first king of Israel. And then chapter 15, verse 13, when Samuel reached him, Saul, and this is all about Saul, he went up before the Lord to conquer another nation. He was to obey the Lord. He did not obey the Lord. He was influenced by the people because he was thinking about what the people wanted and what he looked like before the people, and so he disobeyed the Lord. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." But Samuel said, "Then, what is that bleating of sheep in my ears, and what is the lowing of cattle I heard? Because the Lord said that you will take no cattle prisoner." And Saul said, "The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest." "Stop," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." We won't read it all, but we go down, jump down to the second part of verse 23. "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I have violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people. I was afraid of the people. And so I gave in to them. I was concerned about what they thought. I was concerned about how they would see me and what I did before the Lord. My focus was on them." Verse 25, "Now I beg you to forgive my sin and come back with me." And catch the last part, "so that I may worship the Lord. That I may come before the Lord again and I may celebrate before him." Even in King Saul's heart, as a created man, he knew the best place to be was before the Lord, celebrating, to worship the Lord. But it was his concern of others and how he looked that he had faltered. Michal, in the same way, she's concerned about what others think. "Look at you, David. Did you see how you look today? Disrobing in front of the slave girls of your servants?" And she was concerned about what others thought. I would say that a lot of times, myself, when I come to worship, I'm a bit more concerned about the slave girls and the servants of the Lord than I am about God himself. And why is that, where we as a people are more concerned about the people around us than standing before the God of God, the King of Kings, of all the universe, and worshiping with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which I believe translates into love. To love him. Focus. And David, when he comes and he does what he does in his undistinguished manner, in a manner that is undignified. His heart is very much of one heart. It's a heart to be holy with the linen ephod. It's a heart to celebrate before the Lord and rejoice in Him. It's a heart that says, I want to take all of my kingliness, which me as a human matters nothing. All of that I think about me being Lord and it's about me, and I want to lay it all down. He has the heart to focus not on those around him, but to focus in the one and only, his King and his Lord. I'll become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. And what this translates to is I will lose my dignity and I will lose my pride. Every time when I stand before the Lord, I don't care how many people are around or what's going on, I will lose it. And if we are honest, that is why many of us do not truly celebrate the way we want to, what is going on in our heart before the Lord. Because we're thinking about keeping our dignity, our distinguishments, our identity, and what we believe is true, what others has been transferred from one generation to another, from those around us to us. We're thinking about keeping our pride, our dignity. Is it yours to keep? Is it mine to keep? Or should we give it all back to the Lord and say, this is my heart of worship. This is my focus. It's all about you. In verse 16, it's interesting because there is a huge celebration going on, probably the largest that has been seen. They were even saying that every six steps, 3, 4, 5, 6, they stopped and they sacrificed a cattle, and I believe it was a sheep, before the Lord. A huge celebration. Everyone from Israel had arrived. But in verse 16, we see this about Michal of a difference. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, watched from a window. She was a spectator in one of the hugest events that's going on. She was an observer. And it's amazing because a lot of events that we go to, we don't get to participate, do we? I mean, you're not going to go to an NBA playoff game and jump in, suit me up, I'm going in for Kevin Garnett. I want to participate. But right here, every Sunday when we come into the house of the Lord and a time of celebration begins, we get to be part of the celebration. But I would like to ask us, how many, when we come to church, we pick up our window and we bring it in? And we sit it down. And we open it. And we get ready for worship. To observe. Just to participate. I mean, just to observe. And I believe for a lot of us, you know, when I'm getting older and I see games going on, man, I think about my muscles and I think about what's going on, and I'm like, man, that basketball game looks good to get into, but, oh, man, I don't think I can get in there. My heart's saying, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of what's going on. I want to participate, but I think of many different reasons why I can't. And so I sit on the sidelines. And a lot of time, there's something that works up in my heart. I don't know if it's what God's saying to me or just my heart, but he's saying, get in the game. And I'd like to ask us that question. Is it time for us to get into the game when we come here on Sunday and celebrate? I don't know whatever that means to you, but to get into the game. It's funny that when we see children, they don't have a lot of reservations. They see something going on. A lot of times they'll be a little bit undignified, wild, and they'll jump into the game. They don't even know what's going on, but they start running around and doing it. But when we grow up, when we become adults, we have a list of reasons we can't do those things. A lot of it is because of the people around us, because we know what they'll say, that we won't be included. But here on Sunday, I want us always to include one another, no matter what's going on, so that we can move forward and get in the game. Verse 16. Michal is an interesting woman, not participating in the wonderful celebration that has ever happened in Israel. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Now that's a pretty strong word, dislike, but to despise. Could almost say the point of hating. And we look up the definition of despise, it's to look down on someone. I'm sure that from her window, she already had the physical point, but in her heart, she had the emotional and spiritual part to go with it, that she looked down on him with condemnation. And we remember that when we read in Romans, we're talking about grace. We talked about in Romans chapter 2 that when people look down on us, it says when you go ahead and you condemn someone, be careful because in the same way, you will be condemned. We read in Romans 8 where it says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. The law of the spirit of life has set me free from the law of spirit and death. She looks down him and despised him in her heart. It's interesting when Jesus comes into Jerusalem in the same way, they are despising him. And they look down on him with condemnation to say what they are doing. And in Michal's the same way, what they are doing is worthless. What you're doing, David, should be condemned. When we look at others in worship, when we see different things through our window, are we in the game? Where's our heart? Is our focus back on the other person and feelings begin to well up on us of some type of despisement? A lot of times we sit and we open our window in that, and it's interesting because in different aspects of our life, we show great emotion, we show great celebration. We just had an Easter party. We cooked a turkey called Easter Thanksgiving Celebration at our house. We played different games. Well, I tell you, there were some people there that when the answer was right to the game, there was celebration, there was joy. And sometimes I wonder, how can we at football games, basketball games, at certain parties, show certain signs of celebration, of joy? But when we come to the house of the Lord and all that he's done for us, we bring our window to observe. Verse 20. I don't know if we had this up on the screen, but we go through verse 18. We see that David goes and blesses all of the people, giving them a loaf of bread, cake of dates, cake of raisins. Verse 20, when David returned home to bless his family, just before, during that, when he gets home, what does Michal do? She doesn't bless him, she condemns him. That's a big difference. And I would say that this is true of the person in celebration before the Lord. That really our heart when we come here is to bless the Lord and to bless. That we as a person of celebration, with the heart of celebration, that our heart is to bless. Do you have a heart to bless others? Last of all, when we come down to it, it's a very sad point. Probably didn't even need to be mentioned. But when we think about celebration before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, the contrast between David and Michal, what's going on there? We come down to the last verse, and verse 23 says, "And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Bit scary. In a way, very much she was rebuked for not celebrating. That she was rebuked for reigning on the parade of David and all of Israel. And she had no children to the day of her death. And we're not placing that on anyone. We're just reading the facts in here. But in the same thing that was passed on from Saul, now there for him, there was a separation from the celebration, the worship of the Lord. The same thing is now separated. The Michal. We were created to celebrate. And if we don't celebrate, the rocks will cry out. God is the God. It's a fact. And so we worship Him and we celebrate. We are called to dance before Him, to praise Him, to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, however you want to do that. To be holy before Him, not to focus on what others think or our distinguishment before them, but to become undignified, to lay our pride down before Him, and to love Him and to worship Him. We were created to celebrate. God is a God of celebration. And let us worship Him. Let us disrobe all of ourself and give it to the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, today, God, we just want to say we love You. Put Your love in our hearts, Lord. Let us see the heart of David. God, let us ask ourselves, are we a David or are we a Michal? God, let us ask ourselves, are we just bringing our window and observing? Let us ask ourselves, where is our focus, Lord? We just want to worship You. Father, we just want to love You. There's a lot of things that get in the way of that, Lord, but we ask that You would remove that. God, we want to give You our robes. We want to give You our very heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.